thought leader and influencer. This is Luba Mayegiso and the Africa Report.
Good morning, Luba. How are you?
I'm good, Kathy. I'm not sure I've got the right show, though. I was worried about your intro thing.
Luba.
I haven't been on Jerry Springer's show yet, so.
All right. So we were talking about the Department of Basic Education.
Yes.
And this life orientation that has been overhauled, and the Sunday Times coming out with this article on Sunday saying that, you know, 9-year-olds are now going to be taught about, let me get this quote right, that they're going to be taught about masturbation, sexual consent, and gender nonconformity.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. What's your thought on that, Luba?
Well, two things. One, I'd love to know the truth because I didn't read the Sunday Times paper itself, but I saw articles quoting that, which worried me. And then on Monday, whilst driving, I listened to the spokesperson for basic education, and he was very clear, and he said the curriculum is finished. There's nothing about masturbation or gender fluidity, and he stated what issues were there, and he said currently that book is in print as we speak. It's being printed. Done, dusted. But on social media, when I think a Christian group approached the same spokesperson, he said, no, this, we're still busy with research. This thing is still up in the air. We're still deciding what's going to go into it. So I am worried as to what exactly is happening. Have they finalized the curriculum in their printing, or was it still for discussion? Then there was a view that said that the Sunday Times had interviewed people who were involved at the very kind of formative stages when the spectrum was much broader. So the one issue I think for me is what exactly is happening? Where are we with this thing? But the one that's I think more concerning as a parent is I think government doesn't take parents along in these processes. And whilst it's good to have those discussions, interestingly, on Sunday we had a heated discussion around the table. Two of us as parents, the other couple were doctors, and our kids. And here's my position, Kathy. A child who's 9 years old does not have the correct foundation to make important decisions. So if you take me, I might be an anomaly. So the way I would view things would be from a faith perspective, as in, you know, what does scripture say about many things. My 9-year-old is immature, cannot make those decisions. So when you suddenly burden him with choices that he has to make about life, you know, he doesn't have the capacity to make informed decisions.
Right.
Now, if you're talking to, let's say, a 16-year-old whose faith is much stronger, who's got more grounding, they're able to weigh these issues. So I think my view is we're dumping things on children who don't have the capacity to really wrestle with them. Now, they will make decisions. And when they grow older, they may struggle to reevaluate those decisions. So for me, I think, yes, we need to discuss these issues, but not at that stage. And I think you need to make accommodation for people's differences. You might say in the Jewish community have somebody who's Orthodox and somebody who's secular. Now, the way they would view things would be different, but you can't force one issue upon them. And the real challenge is that if you as a parent aren't informed, you're playing catch up. So for instance, I had mentioned to Howard before, Shalom, our daughter was 14, goes to an all-girls school. It's always been all girls from day one. Suddenly, this year, the girls decide that with gender fluidity, some of them don't identify as girls. They want the name girls removed from the school, and they don't want to be called girls. So this discussion was taking place in school, but we only caught wind of it when the school was throwing its arms in the air in exasperation. So you need to involve the parents at the beginning so we know what's coming. So when we had the discussion around here at home, two of the parents could not keep up because these kids have been embroiled in this discussion. They've done a ton of research. So when we sat around the table, for instance, we're dealing with the Caster Semenya issue. You know, my daughter says, what about Michael Phelps? And my wife says, who is he? I mean, she doesn't even know who he is, and I don't blame her. And so she's not able to engage with her 14-year-old on this issue because the 14-year-old has done a ton of research, has been discussing this thing, is so well equipped that you, the parent, are on the back foot. Yeah, I'm still here.
Oh, you're still there. Okay, I hear that. How far do you think school should take it in terms of sexual education?
You see, the problem is I don't think at 9, here's my challenge. For somebody, okay, for me personally, my teaching to my children is abstinence from sex before marriage.
Yes.
Now, I have a problem when my kid goes to school and my 9-year-old is going to be told, hey, listen, my boy, there are various options for you. You can masturbate, you can do this, you can do that. And if you're going to have sex, here's a condom, because it contradicts the message that I'm putting to my kids. I do understand there's a challenge because there might be a parent who doesn't mind. So how do we deal with those issues? I just think that those of us who have a different kind of approach to this thing are going to be forced. Our kids are going to be forced to engage with something that they aren't used to and that they shouldn't be exposed to. So I have to be forced now to deal with my 9-year-old and talk to him about these things. Kathy, he's too young. Yeah. He doesn't understand. I've had some discussions with him about certain issues, and really, it's really sweet and cute what he understands. But I have to gently walk with him and get him to understand. But certainly not masturbation. That's not on our agenda. So I think government at least should have consulted parents and said, we're thinking of these issues. What's your input as parents? They can't assume the role of parents on our behalf and decide for us what needs to go in there. I've heard arguments that teenage pregnancies and all of those issues, but I've always said that when you have teenage pregnancy and all of those issues, that's a symptom of a dysfunctional society. If we're not teaching our kids values, that's what happens. Government cannot legislate. You cannot impose those issues. Just as much as if you say, well, I have a death sentence and people will stop committing serious crimes, they don't. So it's really dealing with the symptom. Government's job is not to deal with the symptom. We need to understand what's the cause of this way, what society we live in, and address those issues. It begins at home, not at school.
You're absolutely right.
You disagree?
Right. No, I don't disagree. I think everything comes from home. I think that everything comes from home. And you know, I think that the world began changing and our children began changing when we allowed television to be our babysitters.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But you know, I have to be honest, Kathy, and say we do have challenges. We might have one parent, for instance, whose kid comes home at 3 o'clock. There is, somebody at home to look after the kid or to help them. There might be an au pair. In another situation, the kid goes home and there's nobody and the kid can watch TV. So I'm mindful of those differences, socioeconomic differences and so forth. But I think we cannot legislate for the worst case scenario. And hence I'm saying, I think as parents, we need to get together. We need to be informed as to what's happening. And I think government needs to be transparent and say, this is what we want to talk about. You know, again, with the same doctor, we were discussing the issue that thanks to government, your 12-year-old can have an abortion, but my 17-year-old can't get a Panada from school. And these are the things that just don't make sense. And, it's actually pitting us as parents against our children. You know, when we had the discussion at home, the children are so convinced of the rights they have and that the fact that they're right, they will not concede. So when I had this discussion at home, I was constantly being told, Daddy, you're wrong. You need to compromise. You need to see things differently. You need to make room for other people. And I kept saying to her, but my girl, nothing in what you're saying to me shows your willingness to accommodate. You have very, you know, hard and fast views about certain issues, and either I accept them or I'm wrong. So where we're finding ourselves is, I mean, you're at loggerheads, and the discussion, Kathy, I must say, was unpleasant, and I had to almost make a conscious decision to almost withdraw and concede and say, okay, fine, I will accept that they're different views. And I kept saying, but where does my responsibility now begin? Because I'm your father. I'm supposed to teach you certain things. You're telling me that that's not my role. I shouldn't impose on you certain things. You need to figure things out for yourself. So these are the challenges. So we've got to ask ourselves and say, are we being asked to abdicate our roles as parents in teaching and educating our children? Because that is essentially what you're being asked to do. But essentially, that, you know, if something happens to the kid, people won't ask government. They'll say, Kathy, what happened? Where were you as a parent? What did you teach the child? So we have, a religious obligation and a moral obligation to teach our children. And that can't be outsourced or taken from us. Or if somebody wants to come in as government and intervene and assist us, they must do so with our consent on a curriculum we understand and agree on.
Luba, that's...
You're very quiet.
Yeah, Luba, I suppose that that's also, that's where the argument for private education comes along, is that it becomes value-based education. And maybe that's the model that we can look at. But we, this is where we have to leave it, unfortunately. But I have really enjoyed hearing what you have to say. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm still struggling with it. I think I'm hoping that there'll be a better discussion.
Yeah. No, we need to get back to value-based living, you know,
yes,
where it's not a free-for-all, because you do need to have a line in the sand, things that I will stand for and things I will not stand for.
Too much democracy. I think democracy is making us punch drunk, where everybody has rights.
No, I don't mind everyone having rights. I just mind having the lowest common denominator deciding the policy. That's the problem. Anyway, that's another conversation.
One of the day.
Have a great day.
Thank you, Paul.
You too.
Enjoy the week.
Bye. Cheers, Luba. Bye-bye.